This episode is brought to you by Wrestling Resurgence. Use the promo code BROKEN15 to get 15% off Wrestling Resurgence merchandise and tickets for their upcoming shows. Links are in the description.
Yo, what's going on? It's your boy, Big Wavy Roy Johnson here.
Hello everyone, this is the Interview Queen, Alicia Two.
This is the infamous Cameron Solis.
This is the professional Nathan Crew.
This is Veggie.
This is the Callahan Death Machine in the draw, and the face of Impact Wrestling.
The one and only shot under Willie Mack.
This is Shreddy Breck, aka Mr. Clangin' and Bangin'.
And you're listening.
You
are listening to
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp and I'm delighted to be joined by the Playboy Prince of Podcasting, Nick Davey.
Oh, good evening.
And making his BBG return, the Playboy Prince of Professional Wrestling, Laz Rivera.
That took me off. That took me well off guard when you said that. I was going to say hello then.
I was about to absolutely snap and go, why are you introducing Lars before myself? But glad you redeemed yourself there, Chris. Probably my favourite nickname yet.
Just stolen mine.
You didn't see me,
to know that my nickname's your favourite. That's what I'm hearing.
My favourite wrestler in the northwest of England.
There we go, that's what I like to hear.
So how have you been since last time we spoke, lads?
I've been great. I've been getting around, come back from Belgium, it's been great.
Right, so what did you do else in Belgium?
Well, I got out there and it was great. Me, Casey Payne, Rabid Riley all flew over together. So we had a nice little sit in the airport for 3 hours together. That's always fun. Trying to find somewhere to eat and being told you can't sit in certain places.
Mm.
Wandering around the airport with a KFC, like, excuse me, guys, where can we sit? Then we got out there. We were able to take one of the classes for Pro Wrestling All-Stars for their training school. The three of us were able to do that. So that was a really good experience, being able to help them out the best we can. Some really talented wrestlers out there as well. It's becoming a really thriving scene out there. It's great. And then I had my match on the Sunday with Plague Sullivan, and that went really well. Sadly, though, I wasn't able to pick up the win.
Oh.
Casey Payne also wrestled out there as well with a great match for the Slam title. Big title. He got screwed out of that.
Mm.
He was so close to winning as well. It was a great match. And then obviously Rabid Riley defended his JFPW title in the main event. And he's come back with it now after a great display of what he can do. It was great.
Oh, brilliant. So what did you find there was a language barrier, or was everybody out there pretty much speaking English?
It wasn't a language barrier. It was absolutely fine. Like, so over in Belgium, it's their third most spoken language is English, so everyone just seemed to be able to speak the majority of English.
Oh, brilliant.
So, yeah.
And how did the crowd react to it?
I think they were a bit unsure at first, because obviously I'm the outsider. They didn't know whether to cheer for me or not. So I got out there, and then I quickly realised, yeah, no, I've got them now, and they were all booing me, and I got them where I wanted them to.
Amazing.
Brexit at me at one point. I literally looked at this guy and was like, I didn't even vote for that. Why are you chanting this at me?
And so last time you were on, you came on to discuss Nights of Memories. How did that show go?
Night of Memories, where me and Jack defended our titles against All In Favour, Matt Fox and Gloria Moore.
Yes.
It could have gone better. We dropped our titles to them in a great match, but obviously we came up short and no longer of our titles.
Oh.
But on the bright side, Stacey Rose was able to win the RWA Women's title from Harley Hudson.
Friendly show. Hudson.
So you win some, you lose some. Frontline still have titles.
Yes.
And then, speaking of Frontline, we're also travelling to North Wales on Saturday for Britannia Pro Wrestling.
Yes, it looks like it's going to be an amazing match. So,
Are they called the Scallywags?
Yes, they are. Yeah. Joey Marcus and the Alpha Kid.
Yeah.
So that should be a good match. When Matt Fox is defending his newly won BWP PWI catchweight heavyweight title.
Yeah.
It was meant to be against Ry Lloyd, but sadly he's broken his ankle.
Yes, he did. He did it in the build up to the Island Rumble. That's
what... He did, yeah. I was there as someone who's broken their ankle before. I was a bit like, "How are you, mate? I can see what you've done there."
Yeah.
Oh, he was awesome.
I've seen some of the pictures he's posted on Facebook of the X-ray. I was like, "Oh."
Yeah. His ankle. Do you know the ball of your ankle that's usually on the side? Of your foot.
Yeah.
It was no longer there. It was on the other side. It was in the middle.
Oh, yeah. Horrible. All right, so we get into the show then. So, firstly, congratulations to the four winners of our competition to win tickets to the debut show of Retro Wave Wrestling. Hope you enjoy the show. It looks like it's going to be an amazingly fun show. Where else in Britain will be able to see RoboCop versus Terminator in a retro robot rampage match? So, have a lot of fun.
Whoa, I want some of this. I've always wanted to wrestle the Terminator.
And they've also got a Kung Fu vampire versus a Power Ranger. It sounds like it's going to be amazing. And next week on the show, we'll be announcing the winner of our Full Love of Wrestling competition, where you can win two tickets to the show. So tune in next week to find out if you're the winner. So should we get into a bit of news? So the teams for the match that has been announced, called Blood and Guts, is basically AEW's version of War Games, it looks like, taking place on the 25th of March. So it'll be the Elite, so Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omega, Hangman Page, and the Young Bucks taking on the Inner Circle. And Chris Jericho, Jake Hager, Sammy Guevara, Santino Ortiz.
Sounding like a quite absolutely quality match from what I've heard.
Yes.
Yeah, really looking forward to that.
I'm quite interested in how because obviously from what we've all heard is that it's going to be like War Games, with the two rings and the cage. But apparently it's going to have the roof on top as well.
Yes, I've heard in WWE they don't have the roof, so it could be a bit more of a high flying.
See, that's what I was going to say. Is like I'm interested to see how they do that.
Mm. Yeah, they said the rules are going to be formally announced on this Wednesday's show, so it'll be tomorrow, stroke today's Dynamite. So we'll know a bit more then. But I think that it's going to be a great match. Who else could it have been rather than the Elite versus the Inner Circle? It's going to be a great big bang, haven't you? Yeah.
It just sounds absolute carnage. And to be fair, I think it can close a lot of sort of rivalries off, because you've sort of got, with the Elite, we've obviously had Cody Jericho in the past. I think since it sort of kind of started AEW, there's always kind of been a bit of, I know they had sort of separate rivalries here and there, but it's always kind of been the Inner Circle versus the Elite, hasn't it? So you could almost sort of close this down completely for the feud, and then obviously they could take obviously their different careers elsewhere in AEW. But no, I think it should be a fantastic match. Really, really excited to see how they go about it, and it just sounds sort of a bit sort of carnage, chaotic. Which as I say, really looking forward to it.
I love the way they've called it Blood and Guts, playing on the, because that's what Vince called their first pay per view, wasn't it? So it's kind of just taking the piss out of Vince McMahon. So
Blood and Guts.
Right, so in other news, I think WWE are going to steal our idea for WrestleMania. So changes to the Women's SmackDown Championship match at WrestleMania has been revealed. So, originally, everyone thought it's going to be Bayley versus Naomi for the title, but they're calling to Alex McCarthy of TalkSport. It's going to be a six-pack challenge now. So it consisted of Bayley, Sasha Banks, Naomi, Carmella, Lacey Evans, and one other wrestler. So,
Who's going to be that one other?
Maybe like a returning superstar like Nia Jax or Ember Moon.
Oh, I'd love Ember Moon. Unless Ronda Rousey comes out,
that would be class.
That would be interesting.
Because she was at the WWE HQ this week, wasn't she? So, but he didn't say why she was there. So
That sounds interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm still not convinced we'll see her in a... As much as I'd love to be proved wrong, I'm still not convinced we'll see her in a wrestling ring anytime sort of soon. I think she seems to be genuinely enjoying her sort of time out of it with a partner.
Do you think she'll like a Brock Lesnar deal, where she just does the big four?
After she's had a kid. I think she'll have a kid soon, and I think then she'll... Once, obviously, then she'll start to wrestle again. For sure, and yeah, she probably will go on a Brock type contract, I imagine, which will be great all round. She's obviously done her full time for a year, which I think everyone was really grateful that we managed to get that out of her a whole year. She was at all the house shows and everything, so she's kind of earned that right to then go into sort of a Brock type deal. She's certainly earned it, and I guess it's just to watch this space for now. But yeah, I can see the mystery opponent being Ember Moon or Nia Jax. Nia Jax has definitely been cleared as well. I think they're just trying to work out how to sort of bring her back. I don't know about Ember Moon. I know her injury was a bit more serious, wasn't it, Ember Moon? Well, so was Nia Jax, to be fair. But I know Jax has been injured a lot longer than Moon.
Yeah, my first thought would go to Alexa Bliss, but it looks like she's going to be in the women's tag team title match.
With Nikki
it looks like it's going to be Kabuki Warriors versus the Divas of Doom versus Alexa Bliss and Nikki. Possibly a return in Iconics as they're getting rebranded, apparently.
I really like the Iconics. I wouldn't rebrand them. I think they're really great how they are. They're actually quite funny. So
I've heard about the rebranding. I don't understand it either, because I thought they were great. They were one of my favourite parts of any WWE show.
Yes, I agree.
Just an annoying tag team, aren't they? Like they're just heelish, but in a generally funny way. It's not like sort of a funny way that you sort of force a lot of it. Actually, is funny because one, it annoys people, and two, it is quite funny, their tag team. So I don't see them to sort of repackage them. The other words, how can you kind of repackage them? You're gonna make them more like serious, like wrestlers, like I don't know, like the Kabuki, kind of like the Kabuki Warriors.
I think they could do like a tag team attempt at Emelina. Maybe I can't, but that'd be awful as well. But.
Oh, you mean like that kind of original Divas kind of gimmick?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I get what you mean. Well, they could.
I like the weird Australian gimmick they've got. So
just... Yeah, I just like it. Their hyperactiveness and everything. They're just generally hilarious, quite funny, and yeah.
I think they're absolutely great. I love the pair of them.
All right, so finally, a bit of an update on Scott Steiner has surfaced online. So, PWInsider.com have said that Steiner underwent heart procedure on Sunday. He's remained hospitalized in a stable condition. As follows, he collapsed during a backstage segment in Atlanta during an impact statement. Which is a pretty scary moment when the news broke at the weekend. But I thought to go out to Scott and hopefully he'll be better soon. So.
I'm glad that he's doing well.
Yeah, never nice to hear any superstar, any means of life, obviously. Even worse when you're at a live show and you've obviously got all sorts of ages watching the wrestling. It kind of adds obviously a negative spin, something no one really wants to watch at a show. It obviously gives you a bad memory as well, when you obviously it could have been a lot of people's their first wrestling show. So it's certainly not a memory that you want to cherish in a way. Well, obviously not, and but no, it's obviously sad. Obviously, Scott, I don't know how old is he now, in his 50s now, isn't he? Scott Steiner,
57.
Yeah, he's doing well,
he's doing very well. And I think when it gets to that age, I think they just need to be very careful of obviously always making sure that the wrestlers are physically able and they're putting their health before kind of their almost their pride in a way. Wrestlers, so obviously, we saw Jerry Lawler when obviously he was on Raw that time. He wrestled earlier on in the night, didn't he, before having the heart attack? Back in 2012, wasn't it? I believe it was.
Was it that long ago?
I think it was.
Maybe longer.
I believe it was certainly around, it was certainly the start of that sort of decade.
Yeah.
And but yeah, I think there you go. I think he hasn't wrestled a match since sort of Jerry, or nothing sort of on a serious sort of level of note.
I'm sure he won a title recently.
I think he might have done like a few on the indie sort of circuits where, yeah, as you said, you've got the little sort of almost the less lights, the less pressure kind of on you. So I think it'll be one that Scott, I'm sure, will evaluate, especially with his family. But so most importantly, he's doing well, and hopefully, say, he continues to get better and puts his health before anything else.
Sappen and Dolls, it's Harley Hudson, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious. See ya.
It's time for the first round of our question of sports entertainment. So Nick's question master this week. So take it away, Nick.
Yes, and the theme of this week's quiz is boom, 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 boom. It's all about the Devil's favourite playground, the Elimination Chamber. Wait, is it Devil's favourite playground, or is that the Hell in a Cell?
I thought that was Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, it is. What's the Elimination Chamber then? Yeah, it is Devil's favourite something.
Oh my gosh.
Prison? The demonic structure.
That's it. It is the demonic structure.
Well, whatever you want to call it, that is the theme of this week's quiz. So, round one, I want you to name me wrestlers who have competed in three or more Elimination Chamber matches. I must stress as well, for both round one and two, we won't be doing the female chamber matches only because they've only had a few. So I didn't want to over kind of complicate it or give away easy answers. So just be all men's Elimination Chambers. So the first one was in 2002, and the latest one was on Sunday. So, I want you to name wrestlers who have competed in three or more chamber matches. It doesn't necessarily have to be at the pay-per-view. It can be at sort of Survivor Series, SummerSlam, any other pay-per-view there's been a chamber.
New Year's Revolution. Okay.
Rules are all clear? rules all clear?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep, fantastic. So as Lance, you're the guest of honour this week, I'll let you choose if you want to go first or second.
I'll go first.
Okay, fantastic. So you'll go first in this round, and Chris will go first in the next round. Okay.
Okay.
So Lance, take it away.
Triple H. Oh.
Correct.
Go straight out.
That was my answer. John Cena.
Correct.
That was mine. Daniel Bryan.
Correct. Yeah.
The Undertaker.
No, that is correct. Sorry, I beg your pardon.
Yes,
okay.
Cool.
I thought he had. Chris Jericho.
Correct. He's competed in the most, believe it or not.
I thought he had.
Wow. I think it was eight he's competed in.
Randy Orton.
Yeah, correct. Competed in the third most. Triple H was number two. And he's already been said. For real. Lance, your fourth go.
I'm just thinking, is there a time limit on this?
No, but if you're taking your time, I was trying to probe, and then I will start to rush and then time you out.
Okay. Kane.
Correct. He's committed in the fourth match. John Cena was fifth. He's been said.
I'll go for Edge.
Correct. He's the sixth highest.
That was my next one.
Four all. Lance to go.
Oh, there we go. Sheamus.
Yes, correct. Yeah,
that's my answer. I don't think who we haven't said. CM Punk.
Yeah, correct.
Oh, is that
Kofi Kingston?
Oh well, okay, we're going to a tiebreaker, so we have one more each. I'll give you. So yeah, Kofi is correct.
I had to just go straight in. I couldn't bear sitting here. I had to just say it.
We'll keep going until I guess we're running out.
Mark Henry.
Incorrect. Only two, I'm afraid, for Mark Henry. 2013 and 2015 Intercontinental one. That was off the top of my head, that was. So, yeah, end of round one. Lance, you're on 6 points. Chris on five. But a good start from both. The others you could have had, Shawn Michaels, Big Show, Rey Mysterio, R-Truth, Jeff Hardy, John Morrison.
R-Truth's been in three.
R-Truth is, yeah, I was going to say, I was reading. When I said it, I was trying to doubt myself. But, yeah, it is written down. Shawn Michaels, Big Show, Rey Mysterio, R-Truth, Jeff Hardy, John Morrison. And trying to think of truth, it was 2015 the Intercontinental. I believe it was 2010 and 2012, I think he competed in.
I was going to say Dolph Ziggler, and I'm glad that I didn't know.
Yeah, Dolph's not on there.
Shawn Michaels is my head from the beginning. I don't know why I didn't say it.
Shawn Michaels, 2002, 2003, and many more.
Then wasn't he the referee? One of them as well.
He was the one where he sort of came from under the cage and cost Taker to set up their big match at WrestleMania 26.
It came through the great. I remember that.
Yes,
that's it. Yeah, that was a great, great build to a great, great match.
All right, so congratulations, Lance. I'm sure how.
I'm buzzing here.
Two, don't forget, Chris, you've come back. Yeah, you've come behind against Oliver.
I think I won 3-0 in that second round last time against Oliver. All right, exactly. So
I'm undefeated in quizzes now, even if they have been unseen.
Hi everyone, it's Oliver Newman here, three-time pro wrestling author, and for myself, if you want to support me and my work, you can buy my books, A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling, where I focus on the British wrestling scene, my book on WWE in 2016, A Fan's Perspective, 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE, and my book on WrestleMania 24, A Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. You can buy them on Amazon in paperback and Kindle, Kindle Instantaneous and Kindle Unlimited for free. Or if you would like a signed copy, you can get in contact with me on Big Cartel, A Fan's Perspective, BigCartel.com. Thank you very much.
Right, so WWE Elimination Chamber was on Sunday. I think I really enjoyed the show. I expected nothing from it, and I think I enjoyed every match. As I said before, I don't think I'll ever go back and watch it again, but I think it was a pretty good match, considering how low my expectations were. The event started off strong with Brian vs. Gulak. Both chambers were pretty fun and had great stories going throughout, and then Sammy won his first title in God knows how long, so pretty good show. All round, I think. So.
I was just going to say, what I kind of agree. I had no expectations whatsoever for the pay per view, but yeah, I enjoyed it. I said that I wouldn't, as you say, I wouldn't go back and probably watch. It wouldn't be on my when I go back and obviously have a Sunday night in watching. If I want to put the network on, it probably wouldn't cross my mind to go back and watch. But no, for a pay-per-view I had no expectations for. Some matches I really, really enjoyed. The tag match I absolutely adored. One of my favourite chain matches, and obviously they haven't had many tag team chambers, but by far my favourite.
Is this only the third
tag one? The third, yeah. The 2015.
The women's had one a couple of years ago, didn't
they? Yeah, and then this one, of course. But yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I thought it was... So a lot of the matches made a lot of sense with the booking. None of them bored the hell out of me. They all, as I say, I think the some matches were obviously better than others. But yeah, I thought overall good show, good pay per view from zero expectations. And I think WWE so far, I mean, we've had the best, in my opinion, one of the best Royal Rumbles ever, the best Saudi show ever, and now a reasonable Elimination Chamber pay per view. When some in recent years the sort of the Elimination Chamber and Fastlane, they've always been pay-per-views. I think they've kind of not been great, in my opinion. So, overall, pretty impressed.
I always hear this about the Elimination Chamber, to be fair, that the people usually just don't enjoy it that much because it just doesn't feel as special. But I always enjoyed the Elimination Chamber pay-per-views. I really enjoy the match, so...
It's a stipulation you can't really get wrong.
No, exactly.
I think you really need an Elimination Chamber to have that. You need in there someone who's really over with the crowd. I'll get into it, the tag team match, but from off the top of my head, when you've had Elimination Chambers that have been great, I think it really does depend on that fan favourite you really want to win. Like 2002 Survivor Series, Shawn Michaels, amazing match, probably the best chamber they've ever done. How over was he? How big was the pop when he won? How special was the moment? Goldberg 2003 really wants to get his hands on Triple H. Great Elimination Chamber. Even going back a couple of years ago when Brian came so close to winning in 2014. Great. I think it does really depend on someone who's over. And I think now we found the new GOAT this year of Otis. However, him and Tucker were in that. The crowd were really behind them. I was behind them. I was literally on the edge of my seat watching. So, no, I think it does really depend on Elimination Chamber matches if you've got that really over wrestler in there. it just makes the match go 20 times
yeah,
better.
Exactly, yeah.
Right, shall we start with the tag elimination today of the match? So the champions, Miz and Morrison, retained
Miz in the chamber. Miz and Morrison. Sorry.
Is it woo-woo?
I love them.
Oh, yeah, they're a lot of fun. So I thought overall it was a really fun chamber. I think the stories throughout were really good. The Dolph and Otis feud continued, and we're still waiting for Otis to get his revenge, I suppose. And that spot with Otis running through the chamber, I've never seen that before. And Tucker really impressed me this
all
well.
The way through.
Yeah. He run through a door and the thing, or just the... I can't remember.
No, you ran through the both. Door and the back wall.
Yeah, then the back went wall went smacked the Spanish announce table on their head.
Yes. I saw smoke fly over their heads. Like, I wonder if it was like a bit of plastic just launched up in the air. But no,
I don't envy them having that fly over them.
No. Sort of like once I've seen a cricket bat smash in a cricket game and sort of splinters flying over the other batsman sort of thing. But no, it was amazing. Really enjoyed this match. I think you hit the nail on the head there, Chris. So many great little storylines told. But yeah, Heavy Machinery, I've never been that sold on. This has changed my opinion on them so much. I was proper screaming getting into this match, begging them to win the titles. They're probably my favourite tag team on the main roster at the moment, just after this match alone. That Tuck and Ike dive as well, he's gone up in my estimation.
That Swanton off the top of the thing. Also,
I love it when a big man does stuff like that. Yeah, someone his size, amazing. You've already touched on it, the Otis spot, one of the best spots I've seen for a show, just because it was so unexpected. And how well they sold it as well, with sort of Tucker sort of going over and looking like, obviously looking really shocked for his partner, almost saying like, when you almost you have that creep of doubt going, shit, is he actually all right? Tucker, then when Tucker was like, well, come on then, I'm sort of backing up my boy here, it's me versus you both, really sold it well, Tucker and I. And then just the general, when they got eliminated, that general sort of applause when they're walking back obviously backstage was great. So I think they got the crowd really into, obviously, because if you bought a ticket for this show, you'd be a bit peed off. There's no real main sort of event, but this really got the crowd going. The crowd loved it. And but even other spots as well. I mean, even the Lucha House Party, I think they're only in there for one of them to have a flip off the chamber. And
that was,
I love the way
insane.
they got that in and they quickly got eliminated after. I think everyone came out of this doing something right that added to the match in every way possible. Obviously, Rude and Ziggler, those bastards, in a way. Same with Miz and Morrison, the way they added their heelish. You had the New Day, be New Day. Usos with their fantastic moves as well, flying around. So everything that could have gone right with this did go right. But as I said, I think they've established two new stars in Otis and Tucker. And I just hope they get a big payoff in the end. I really do hope so, because they've been sort of a secret thing that people are secretly enjoying about SmackDown as well.
Yeah.
They have been really good.
Yeah, I don't think they could have booked it any better, starting it with the New Day and the Usos and then being like in the last three as well against Miz and Morrison. So it looks like it could be like a triple threat between them three teams at Mania.
No. Heavy Machinery.
I'm guessing it's going to be Heavy Machinery versus Rudolph.
Yeah,
I thought it was just going to be Dolph Ziggler versus Otis. Straight one-on-one match. That's what I
think. That'd be a bit harsh on Tucker now. I think Tucker just did so well in that chamber. I think, and I think the way they're saying like Tucker loves Otis sort of thing. That's like a brother.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a bit harsh on Tucker. Well, harsh on Bobby Roode, I guess, in a way. If they make it kind of a one-on-one match, I think a tag team match with. Mandy Rose in a shark cage.
I've been thinking they're going to kind of do the Christian and Chris Jericho kind of gimmick where obviously Mandy Rose is Trish Stratus in the middle, and obviously they're not friends, but they do the big turn where she fully turns on Otis.
Yeah.
And goes... Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
My heart wouldn't be able to handle that.
See, that would be so. What's so great about it, though, wouldn't it? Because everyone would just despise it.
Oh no! You can't hurt sexy Otis.
No, he's but you're right though. I mean, he's so over it. It would give Dolph or whoever the biggest heat going, because he's one of the probably most over stars on SmackDown. I'd say
that's probably the best work Dolph Ziggler's done since that feud of Miz he had in early 17 or whatever it was.
Was well after shortly after the brand split. It might have been 2016. I think it was shortly after the kind of the brand split, but. He said in it as well. Wow, I'd love the way him and Rude were trying to lock the cage and they're trying to. That spot always makes me laugh when people try to stay in the cage. But it was probably Rude going, "Can we have a timeout?"
Right, shall we move on to Daniel Bryan versus Drew Gulak? So I thought this was a great match. The execution was massively done, and parts played off the established feud really well. And at the time, it looked like a real fight. so this another.
They're just easily two of the best wrestlers in WWE, and not just in WWE, in the world, though. They are just so unbelievably good.
Yeah, I think it was a very strong way to kick off the show, and it was different. It wasn't the high-flying, let's get the crowd dead excited type of match. It was a grounded, technical, hard-hitting match, which is a lot different to how they usually start their pay-per-views, but I thought it was amazing. I hope this carries on. It's like he'll go, "All right, so I've had a match with you. Next time I'll get you. I'll know how to beat you next time." So he nearly did.
I just hope it goes all the way to WrestleMania now.
I think they could do the same match again at WrestleMania. So.
I think it's great.
I think for such a short feud as well, we talked about this a lot on podcasts before about when they sort of put a feud together last minute. I think this whole Bryan thing's actually been great, like this last sort of few weeks or sort of the last sort of month or so since the Rumble. I've loved the way he's been wrestling kind of jobbers, but he's making them look great. Like he made Heath Slater look great. He made Curtis Axel look great. That's no disrespect to those guys, by the way. I love Heath. But I think it's more just how Bryan's just absolutely incredible that he can put anyone over. And he's done Drew Gulak's career absolutely no harm whatsoever. I always thought Gulak would be fine on the main roster, given that he's got a pretty good gimmick behind him with the presentations. He's obviously got the wrestling, so he's fine in the ring. And really good match. And when it was opening the show, I wasn't like, "Oh, great, I need to watch this." But it definitely, again, surpassed my expectations. Really enjoyed it. And I do want the feud to continue as well. I've also been loving the way as well with Gulak on commentary on SmackDown when he's been sort of doing what all managers should do in wrestling. He's actually been shouting tactic advice sort of thing by going, "No, get down off the rope. We didn't agree doing that. Get down." You see sort of like even Paul Heyman's guilty of it, managers, when they sort of just bang the rope sort of thing or saying he's behind you. I love that Gulak's actually giving tactical advice.
Stacey, every time I have a show, I tactical advice. She's great. She always does that for me.
Exactly. They need to know that Pep Guardiola is not having an influence on football. He's also having an influence on wrestling as well. So
don't talk to me about Pep Guardiola.
I was going to say, sorry, I'm a Manchester United supporter.
You won't hear the end of it if we start talking about Pep Guardiola after this weekend.
But more tactics, please, wrestling managers. I've got a lot of time for that, so I'd like to see more. Yeah, more like if they came out with almost like a spreadsheet and an iPad. This is what we went through and stick to the game plan.
Get a full team on the touchline.
Wasn't that a gimmick in that's a WCW gimmick, wasn't it? Whatever Terry Reynolds was called at the time in the WCW. She used to come out of a laptop and she'll calculate the best way for her man to beat the opponent. But I can't remember who the wrestlers were involved. And it was Terry Reynolds. What was it? Somebody Christian, I think her name. I'm babbling because I can't remember. But so we have Sami Zayn winning the IC title from Braun Strowman, an epic 37-day reign for Braun Strowman. I was hoping it was going to be like what a year. I was hoping he'd hold for like a year, 18 months, when there's literally no one could beat him. But apparently they have a celebrity thing they want him to do at WrestleMania. I've heard.
Oh, they don't, do they?
That makes sense. Sami Zayn's first match in about 6 years.
That's ridiculous. I saw that Sami Zayn. They want Sami Zayn for a celebrity or Strowman for a celebrity.
Strowman.
Oh no, the poor bloke. He hasn't. What's he? So he's been there for WrestleMania 33. He was in the Giant Battle Royal. WrestleMania 34. He had to team with a child. 35. 35 Battle Royal. They can't be doing it again with him. He's too good for it.
I mean, I think it's... Yeah, I heard it's with Saturday Night Show.
Saturday Night Live, guys.
Saturday Night Live. The ones who were in the Battle Royal last year.
I was going to say, they've already done that, haven't they?
We don't want to see
a rematch of Tyson Fury. I've heard that as well.
Well, that'd be fine. I love Fury, so yeah. Now you're talking. That's cheering me up. I was just hoping for a Strowman versus Sheamus match for the IC title. Where it's two big guys, pretty have a good match, and it gives them whoever wins gets them both gets some obviously a bit of a credible win on the grandest stage of them all. Positive, I hope that Sami Zayn wrestles in a triple threat match for the year with Cesaro and Nakamura at WrestleMania.
I think that's what we said, didn't we?
We always wanted Zayn to wrestle Nakamura sort of from their takeover match a few years ago, one of the best takeover matches ever. That'd be great. I'm happy Sami won because he's still one of my favourite wrestlers in WWE. I actually had a dream about him winning a title the other day, but it wasn't the IC title, it was the WWE title. Don't know why I was dreaming it, but
That's commitment, isn't it?
It's like, well, I dreamed that the crowd lost their absolute mind. I think it was, I was there as well in the audience, and Sami Zayn won the match, and yeah, the crowd absolutely went mental, like more mental than you've ever gone on a football goal scoring.
Good build.
Exactly. But I hope Strowman does not have that celebrity match. Fury I can accept because, yeah, I like Fury. I like Strowman. Quite like the whole little chemistry they've got going on. So I could deal with that, but no, not with Saturday Night Live or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I'm not into that. Especially, I know it's for, like, variation. Like, you obviously don't want to have just constant the same wrestling match over and over again. You want something different because obviously they build WrestleMania as a variety show. But when you sat there for 7 hours and they're just whacking people on you don't know and you don't care about it, it kind of just takes away from it, doesn't it, really?
Yeah. I haven't watched Saturday Night Live since the 90s, so I have no clue who's the big stars on it at the moment.
No, neither do I.
He's the Late Late Show, doesn't he?
Seth Meyers?
I don't know.
Or James Corden. There's so many Late Late Shows.
Alright, so the last show we're going to discuss, Shayna Baszler won the Chamber. Pretty impressive display. I think it was perfect booking. The only bit I didn't like was the last two, where she had to wait for people to come out the Chamber, and he waited the full 5 minutes. Like, no, can't you just kayfabe it down to 3 minutes or something? So we'd have to sit there for like 2.5 minutes just shouting at each other. But
I really enjoyed that though. I thought it was great.
I think 90 seconds of it would have sufficed rather than like 3 minutes of them just shouting. I know Oscar was amazing, whatever she was shouting in Japanese. So I know she was saying stupid and idiot, but that's the only words I could understand the rest of it in Japanese. So, the presentation of Shayna was a killer heading into Mania. So I think it was perfect the way she just tapped somebody else, then 25 seconds later she taps somebody else, and then battered Natalya with the door.
I thought, again, much like the tag team so much, I thought they got this booking to a T. They had to have Shayna absolutely dominate, which they did. I can kind of understand. Maybe they should have not had it for so long, her shouting, but I quite liked it. I quite liked the intense part of it. With that, it always kind of reminds me of when sort of I was like when I have to sort of when someone's waiting to come out of the pod. My favorite one from memory sort of is so when Goldberg was sort of waiting for Triple H to come out and then sort of smash through the door.
That's what I was thinking as well.
I did enjoy it, but yeah, 100% the correct booking was Shayna winning. I know it. Again, with the whole sort of chamber matches, I mean, the Raw one, I was like, yeah, it's kind of obvious that it's going to be Shayna winning. Maybe they should have done a SmackDown one instead. And obviously, it depends on what plan they've actually got plans they've got in place for Mania itself. But overall, I think
they had to do it. And they had to, because not every WWE fan watches NXT.
That's true.
So for the people who only watch WWE, they need to get Shayna over as this monster.
Yeah, because yeah, obviously you have a lot of families, like younger kids will watch WWE, but they won't watch NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
so you obviously have to like
sell her.
Yeah, you've got to sell her to everyone, not just us who already know about her.
Yeah, yeah, and get that.
Becky's battered everybody on the Raw roster, so they need to bring somebody in that's a credible threat to Becky. Because
I really think
they've already done me. I can't beat Oscar, but then she's beat Oscar now. I can't beat Charlotte, but now she's beat Charlotte. And then, so. But that, yeah, and this annoying, overconfident Becky here just getting humbled at WrestleMania, and then the comeback story after it could be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I hope it unleashes the Becky of obviously when she turned into the man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's where it's going to go. I think it'll be, I think she's definitely going to lose, but I hope she loses quickly as well, like a very shock, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened kind of moment.
Oh, than just, I agree.
A long stretched out match where she loses at the end and we all just go, oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think try and get it done very quickly. I think and even I'd say keep it under 5 minutes.
Yeah, you suggested
keep it under a minute.
You suggested that opens the show as well, didn't you? I thought.
Who, me?
Yeah,
well, I'd happily have it open the show. I think as WrestleMania, I think this day and age, we've said it's a show that opening the show is probably just a bit of a prestigious actually closing the show when you've got the crowd kind of at the most hottest before they get into the 20 hours or however long it is these days for WrestleMania. But no, I would happily have it open the show. And yeah, almost quite similar to last year with Seth beating Brock quite quickly. I'd have this match done and dusted within, I'd say under five, but Lance is under a minute, then yeah, that could even work as well.
I'd love to see it just like that, just gone.
I'm thinking of the Brock, almost like the Brock John Cena match from SummerSlam a few years ago, where that was a squad match.
That could be interesting.
That'd be good. You could really build it as well, couldn't you, as the comeback for her?
Yeah, well, as a comeback, you can have her as Shayna as the unstoppable monster as well, where she's like, almost like the Brock Lesnar of the women's division. You could even open up Ronda coming back, all sorts, Charlotte swapping brand. Oh no, Charlotte is on Raw, so yeah, you could have Charlotte as well, potentially down the line. As I say, it opens up Nia Jax when she comes back. So, yeah, lots to work with, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've heard Becky and Seth are going to take time off after Mania, so it could be a way of writing her off for a while.
Well, because if she went away, then gives you opportunity not to just continue on with it.
Well, I think it's a good idea after Mania to let wrestlers have a bit of time off. I think, especially Seth and Becky, they've been sort of the main sort of people in their divisions, respectfully. I think that's a great idea for the pair of them. Have a time off, recharge the batteries, get people to actually miss them. I think we should see more of wrestlers as well getting time off as well. I think it will only aid the product.
Yeah, there's enough wrestlers that they could have. You could probably have them 1 week on, 1 week off most of the time. Wrestle 1 week and do a backstage thing, that pre-recorded backstage thing the week after. So like they used to, because even in the Attitude Era, they didn't wrestle every week. They'd have a segment.
NXT is quite like that with like Balor, Gaga. Yeah, NXT is very good at that.
On NXT, you used to be able to see some people you don't see once a month. They'd have a backstage thing and then they'd have one match a month or something.
It works, or even they just try it out. But I think, yeah, definitely taking time off. But we used to see it a lot, didn't you? Especially more to the end of like when Undertaker and everything, Triple H, you would sort of see them have a bit of a hiatus after WrestleMania, and then you'd see them sort of get back into their sort of SummerSlam rivalries, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how if Seth is going to take time off. It'd be interesting to see how they actually take him off TV, especially now him being put into such a prominent role.
I'm hoping it will lead to a big spot. I'm hoping it'll be him and Owens in like a hardcore false count anywhere match. I'm hoping it'll be a massive spot that wins the match for KO, and then that could write stuff off for a bit.
Yeah. Interesting.
The one last bit I want to discuss was the Undertaker's appearance, and there's rumours that it won't be a one-on-one match between AJ Styles and the Undertaker. It's going to be a handicap match, so Undertaker and Black versus the Club.
I could see that working. It takes more of the pressure off the Undertaker as well.
And you can, Yeah, then Black could get the rub off the Undertaker's world.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I'm all for that. Gives Black a bit of a nod. Sure, Black would be one for Black. That'd be pretty, almost like a proud dad, sort of seeing Aleister Black, or Tommy End as he was on the indie, my favourite ever indie wrestler. So it'll be nice to see, that'd be a nice little nod from Undertaker as well to on the grandest stage. I really like that. And we saw how well Undertaker, the tag match between Undertaker and Reigns was at the Extreme Rules pay-per-view last year against Drew and Shane. I'm all for that, 100%.
If they wanted to make it a straight six-man tag, they could always wheel in Kane as well. Black do most of the work.
Yeah. It's interesting that we talk about Tommy and there, as you just said, because Steve, who runs Pro Wrestling All Stars over in Belgium, he was telling me about all the time they used to spend together.
Oh, really?
All over there. They're very good friends, and it was just very interesting to hear what he was like before the tattoos and before the piercings and the everything else.
I only know him with the tattoos and piercings. I only got into indie wrestling beginning of 2016.
Yeah,
but Tommy End was always my favourite, and then really nice, not one of the nicest guys you can meet as well. Loved him.
Yeah.
Always had a lot of time for everyone, so like that would be a special sort of moment for the indies sort of thing as well. More than anything, if he does team with the Undertaker at Mania,
yeah, it'd be absolutely great.
You are listening to Broken But Glorious with Henry Grodd, and nobody hates better than me.
So it's time for the final round of A Question of Sports Entertainment. So, Nick.
Hello. Round two. So, a quick reminder from round one, it's Lance 6, Chris 5. So, Chris will turn first in the second round. So, I want you to name your wrestlers who have competed in just one elimination chamber. However, I do have a but. You can't name anyone. This is excluding the chamber we had on Sunday. So just to make it even more harder, the chamber on Sunday, not interested. So if you were to say Otis, hypothetically, I'll turn around and say, no, give me another answer. Okay, so wrestlers, just one elimination chamber. And again, doesn't matter if it was elimination chamber pay-per-view or if it was another pay-per-view like Survivor Series or what have you. The wrestlers, just the one chamber match they've competed in. Okay.
And still no women's, just men's.
Still no women. Yep. Sorry. Yep. Still no women's, just men. Because otherwise, my list would be ridiculously long. Because it already is pretty long. So, Chris, start.
Santino Marella.
That is correct. Yes, Santino Marella in 2012. That is correct. Almost won it.
Carlito, I've got.
Carlito is correct. Yep, that was 2006.
That was my first pay-per-view I ever watched live.
Wow. How old are you?
I'm 20.
Oh, crikey, I'm 25.
I woke up ill in the middle of the night when my brother was watching it, and I went and sat and watched the main event.
And now you're a wrestler.
I was watching wrestling before that. That was just my first live pay-per-view.
I see. Sorry, Chris, I've given you a bit of time there.
I'm sure Chris Masters was in the one with Carlito, but I'm going to go with that.
Yep, he was indeed. 2006.
It's my favourite chamber match. Rob Van Dam.
That's wrong. No, he was 2002. And all. Yeah, Rob Van Dam is wrong.
Oh, he was in the December to Dismember one, wasn't he?
Was indeed.
Oh.
I am going to go with Vladimir Kozlov.
That is correct.
Yeah.
I think it was 2008. I think it was 2008,
actually. I take the lead. Pressure.
Lance, your third.
Booker T. I swear he's only just been in one.
That's correct. He was just in the first one, 2002. Chris, your fourth guy.
Is Kevin Nash only been in one?
Was just in 2003.
Okay, Goldberg.
Yep, 2003 as well. Chris, your last go.
So we're drawing at the moment, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Ryback?
It's a very long list I've got.
That's where he's been in two.
Oh, man.
Ryback is correct.
Yes!
Whoa, I thought he was in a WWE one.
Just 2015.
He won the
IC title. The Continental one was the only one he's been in.
Oh, no.
If you get this wrong, Lance, you're out. If you get it right, we go to sudden death.
Can I have the join El Matadors that were...
You can say one.
That's awkward because I can't remember either of the names. I just remember them being in that tag team match.
I don't know what my next answer is.
Oh, no. Hold on. It'll come to me.
You don't have to say what their name was then. You can say what their name is now, if that helps.
Oh, Primo. There we go. That helps.
Okay, we are going to sudden death. So it's 10-all. Chris, to go.
Epica.
Correct. Sudden death. Lance, need to get this to stay in the game.
Okay.
Gonna have to push you for an answer.
Oh, this is tough. This is tough.
Is the winning streak going to continue?
Gonna need an answer before I start counting.
Is Heath Slater being in one? I swear he's only been in one.
Heath Slater?
Yeah.
Has been in zero.
Winner.
The winner again.
Hooray!
Twins 11-10. I'll rattle through these.
I was going to say, Xavier Woods was going to be my next guest.
Yeah, he's one you could have had. Okay, so Xavier Woods, Drew McIntyre, yep. Ted DiBiase, Mike Knox, Samoa Joe, Elias, Finn Balor, Lashley, Seth Rollins, Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, Baron Corbin, Kurt Angle, Gromire, Hardcore Holly, Umaga, JBL, Kalisto, MVP, Sin Cara, Finlay, Victor, Connor, Viscera, Test, Tyson Kidd, Chris Benoit, Titus O'Neil, Darren Young, Christian, Jack Swagger, and Cody Rhodes.
There's a lot there that I've been in more. It's a
big name. Yeah, Reigns is a surprise one, isn't he? He's only been in one. That was 2018, so one the one he won.
Yeah.
So,
I thought Kalisto had been in more than one. Because I was thinking of Kalisto.
Kalisto, to be fair, yeah, I mean, he could have been in two, but he wasn't part of the Lucha House Party this weekend. So that was Matalik and Dorado. Yeah. But yeah, congratulations to Chris. Wins again.
All right.
Like Liverpool, you are.
I think I'm undefeated this year. You've
got everything going.
Oh, so close.
You really are like Liverpool. Yeah, 11-10 it is to... we need to get someone from Watford on, I think. Sorry to Liverpool listeners.
I do feel like Man United at the moment when we came so close to beating them.
Yeah. But yeah, no, congratulations to Chris on another win. And
thank you.
Yeah, that was this week's quiz, the Elimination Chamber quiz.
Yo, this is Man Like the Reason you're listening to Broken but Glorious.
As we mentioned last week, Matt Hardy has left WWE. And in the final episode of Free the Delete, Matt and Nick Jackson showed up at the Hardy compound. So I'm guessing Matt Hardy to AEW confirmed. So
wait, everyone... a big swerve and Vince McMahon turns up.
I still like the conspiracy theory that Vince McMahon's behind AEW. Just to get some competition.
It'll just be a big invasion.
So you're happy with him joining AEW so soon? So I would have liked him to do a bit of Impact, a bit of NWA before he went on to AEW.
I'm more than happy with him joining. I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy to see him go to AEW. Just a shame WWE, it took until the last sort of few weeks to actually have something good to do with WWE. Get involved in the awesome sort of programs. It's just a shame they couldn't have found something sort of better to do. I know, obviously, when Jeff got injured, it was quite awkward where to put him, but I know he couldn't really bring back the broken character. I think they just never really got it right with him. It's probably the correct move as well, and it's a good chance, obviously, if Jeff's coming back to SmackDown this week, so he's staying strong in WWE. I think it'd be good to see them do two different sort of promotions, because they never seem to sort of go separate ways, do they?
No.
So it'd be interesting to see how they do in different promotions. And
I think Jeff's got 8 or 9 months left on his contract because he had that injury, so they just added it on to the end of his contract.
Going to say, he doesn't have very long, does he?
But I'm sure they might be able to get him to sign a new one if they want to and if he wants to.
It'd be interesting.
But interesting to see what he does in AEW. I don't think we all know the obvious thing with the Dark Order, but they might even swerve us AEW. They might think that might be too obvious. They might do sign Kelce with him. Maybe even someone to take down the Dark Order.
That's what I've been thinking.
I've been thinking he's more likely to be taking it down than joining it.
Him and Orange Cassidy together.
That'd be interesting. Be interesting to see what gimmick he comes in with as well. I assume it'll be the broken one. But you just never know, do you?
Yeah, I assume so.
Because it's free the delete, isn't it? So it makes sense.
Whether WWE just put me off it, but I'm not a massive fan of the broken one anymore. I feel like we've just kind of seen it. It worked well on the indie. It kind of worked well when it went to WWE, but I don't know if I want to see it anymore.
I think it was probably more down to WWE.
Messing it up. Yeah. With the whole Bray thing.
Okay, Google the total deletion. It'll get your love back for it. The Tag Team Apocalypto. That's another great match.
Tag Team Apocalypto.
I'm sure.
It's been revealed that Triple H, as a way of trying to keep Matt in WWE, apparently offered him his own faction in NXT based around the Broken Universe. So I thought it'd be fun if we each came up with who we think would have been in a Hardy-led NXT faction. So, Nick, do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
You can go first, that's all right, buddy.
Okay, cool. So I've firstly gone with Chelsea Green, but imagine her more in a psycho-jolted bride Laurel Van Ness character from Impact rather than the spoiled character she is now. She could go on a bit of a losing spree and then Matt would have took her underneath his wing and then she'd come back out as a psycho bride. Also, I think he needs a protege, so I've gone with Cameron Grimes, friend of the show, as Hardy trained him. So there's already a built-in story there. Then I thought they needed a brute, and I thought, no, how about they have a pair of brutes, a bruising tag team? So I've gone with a team of Dave Masters and Killian Dane, maybe in like the Batman and Robin Bane style attire, very cartoony, just two big brutes. And then I thought he needed an assistant, so somebody in the bit like Signor Benjamin, but weird, a weird, creepy butler type of character. So I've gone with Dexter Lumis as a weird, creepy butler who'll just do his bidding as his assistant.
I couldn't get behind that. I like that.
It's better than what I'm thinking.
I like Chelsea Green. I was thinking Chelsea Green. I think that'd be very interesting.
I think she will be a jolted psycho bride character soon. I think they're doing this bit of a losing streak that she can't get up by a win at the moment, and then she'll go psycho. She was so good at that in Impact. Nick?
So, I think I'm pretty much going for a bit like the Sanity, but obviously it won't be called Sanity, but it'll be on the same kind of, it'll be kind of like that. So a bit freaky, a bit like, almost like between the Sanity and the Wyatt family in the middle there. So it'll be Hardy as joint owner with a non-wrestling Eric Young, but Young will kind of be a bit like... Young will come out a bit like freaky, a bit like Paul Ellering. In fact, actually, you've screwed that. No, I'm not going to go. It'll be Matt Hardy and Paul Ellering as the two owners of this faction. And it will consist of Mia Yim, because you need a nice female, but it'll be a repackaged Mia Yim. So she'll be more of a she'll be like more of a brawler. She'll like look a bit more freakier, so she'll it'll be Mia Yim. We'll have I was thinking Killian Dane in there as well, as obviously a monster. We'll have Killian Dane in there. We'll also have Damian Priest in there as well. And for the main, and then for the main guy, we'll also throw in, completely forgotten who I had. We'll have Killian Dane, Damian Priest, and I will also put in, I've just changed my mind, I don't want to have the person I originally had. I'm going to throw in Dave Mastiff as well. Actually, no, I'm not. Yeah, no, I will do Dave Mastiff. That'll be my step. So a lot of brutes in there. But yeah, Matt Hardy and Paul Ellering will be the ones owners. So it'll be a bit almost like the Authors of Pain as well. But yeah, really? So we'll do Damian Priest, Dave Mastiff, and Killian Dane.
Lance, I know we've kind of just thrown this onto you, but do you have a quick idea? Or?
So I've just been thinking. I realise the ones that you've come up with. And I was just thinking that it's a faction. So I was thinking that Chelsea Green would be really good if she became the Psycho Bride, like you say, from the time and Impact. I think that would be really interesting. I like the whole Paul Ellering as the manager as well. I really like that. And I don't want to make it too big. So I thought, well, straight out, just go with one more. And I think that, how interesting their dynamic would be and how they'd interact off each other. I think the Velveteen Dream would be a great, like, just to bounce off each other.
Yeah.
Just to see how it'd all work together.
Odd Joel.
Top of the card in NXT, but I think them working together would be great.
Odd Joel, on 2K20 or 19, I can't remember which one it was, he made the Skelveteen Dream, so it was a skeleton. It was a Velveteen Dream, but he was a skeleton. So he could do a similar character to that. It's going to be a bit weird.
I think he's just being his normal self, where he's just being dead free and all over the place. I think that would work really well.
Yeah, it'd be a bit interesting. It'd be good banter off the two of them. The dream of Velveteen.
I think that'd be great.
Yeah, I think that'd be a lot of fun. So I think we could. So I'm a bit gutted they didn't take the contract. Now we would have saw this faction. So, well, it would have been interesting to see where it would come. So I heard another rumor that he wanted to put him somehow back with Hard and Wyatt as well.
I think that ship sailed now.
Hi, I'm Troy McCarthy, and you're listening to Broken But Glorious, the best podcast to ever feature me, Troy McCarthy.
All right, so we've got plenty of interviews coming up in the next couple of weeks. Tomorrow, I'm interviewing Kyle Kingsley and the Daredevil, Dave Dahl. So they'll be coming out this Friday, next Friday. And Lance, where can the listeners see you in the near future?
So in the near future, I've got BWP this Saturday, the 14th of March. And then beyond that, there's RWA on the 4th of April in Winsford. And then on the 5th, of April as well, I'm hoping to be a part of the great cause that is Wrestle Island and BWP's show all together now for autism. So hopefully you'll be seeing me really soon around the place.
Yeah, amazing. I really want to go to that show. It's in Ellesmereport.
It is indeed. Yeah, the Whitby Club, I believe.
Yeah, I've asked Pete if he'll put a minibus on.
You possibly can. That would be great.
Yeah, it's more just bringing the kids because they've got school the next day. So,
of course, yeah.
Just getting back here in a reasonable time. So.
Yeah.
All right, so do you want to plug your social media?
So you can find me on Facebook, Lance Rivera Playbook, on Twitter, Lance_Rivera, and on Instagram at Lance_Rivera as well. It's where I'm posting all my content, so if you want Lance Rivera in and around your face 24/7, these are the places to find it.
And hopefully next time you're on, I'll be wearing your shirt, because I'll be buying it one.
That's the one. That's paid. What I want to wear.
I can see the merch. The merch does look good, to be fair.
Oh, thank you. It's been selling really well all over the place. Been sending them down south as well and everything.
Oh, brilliant. I'm like making a purchase myself.
Hey, can do. I accept PayPal.
only if he's promised me he'll come down and do a show down south, then if I can
get booked down there for any promotion that's near you, I'll happily come down and I'll bring you your own size and I'll print your name on the back as well.
All right, so if you enjoy our show, follow us on Twitter. It's BBGWpod. Same on Facebook. I think it's the same on Instagram. Oliver sorts the Instagram out. I'm still not quite up for it. And check out our website, bbgwrestling.com. We also have a partnership at powerslam.tv. If you want a month's free access, use the promo code BROKEN3. All details you'll find in the description. And from us all, good night.
Good night.
Good night. There we go.